Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Welcome to episode 3 of Mind Your Farm Business. Again, we can thank RBC for sponsoring this series on farm management here on Real Agriculture. My name is Kelvin Heppner, and we're talking risk management. How do you manage risk on your farm? By itself, that's a big, maybe not very practical question, but to really manage against risk, it doesn't matter what type of risk it is, it helps to first of all know about it, to have identified it, which made me think of the famous quote from former U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. He spoke about how there are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. In farming, in many cases, we have tools to protect against risks that are common, that are known. We sometimes call these operational risks, but what about those unknown unknowns? Can a farm business position itself to protect against those? Well, we're going to hear from Dr. Michael Bolgi. He's a distinguished professor of agricultural economics at Purdue University Center for Commercial Agriculture. We get into the process of identifying risks to your farm business, responding to them, and maybe the most interesting part, how uncertainty or a situation that seems to be risky is often an opportunity. As he says, downtimes are often when the best opportunities present themselves. We're joined by Mike Bolgi of the Center for Commercial Agriculture at Purdue University. And Mike, we're talking managing risk and financial risk on farms. And before we can manage it, obviously we have to identify it. And some risks are easier to or more obvious than others. How do you recommend a farmer goes about first of all identifying risks to their operation?
Yeah, that's really important to kind of think about the different kinds of risks that we have in the agricultural sector. Most farmers are fairly well acquainted with kind of the we sometimes refer to as the operational risk in their business, and they kind of fit into two broad categories. One is the risk associated with the production and side of their business. So it's the risks that are associated with yields and productivity, efficiency, insects, weather, those types of risks that are pretty straightforward. The risk that there's a little bit less appreciation awareness of are the financial risks that they face. Not that the production and other risks that they face operationally don't have an impact on them on the financial risk, but there is kind of a whole set of risk analyses that we try to do related to not only the profitability of the business but also the risk-bearing ability of the business in terms of its cash flows, its resiliency to financial stress, which we seem to be encountering in parts of agriculture, the grain side, more so than we used to, say, 3 or 4 years ago. And that whole question of debt utilization, interest rate risk, and those types of risks. But the risk is probably not thought about as much as it should is what we refer to as a second kind of general category, and that's the strategic risk. The risk that sometimes we describe as those risks that have a fairly low probability of occurrence, but if they do occur, it's kind of a capital wipeout. It kind of has a tendency to really, really hurt you dramatically. And the best example currently we see right now in the U.S., for example, maybe a little less so in Canada, is the avian flu in the turkey and egg industry here. We've seen it in the past in pork and the pets that we've had. So some of these are disease risks, but we just don't have a whole lot of history in terms of how to predict and how to mitigate and the risk that we just hadn't anticipated very well. And, you know, you go back a number of years ago, is the risk associated, for example, with the BSD, the quote, mad cow disease, et cetera. Nobody ever kind of figured out what that was going to do. And And what they do is they profoundly change not only what happens in the business, but they also change kind of the whole market dynamics. And so those risks are hard to predict, but we need to position ourselves to be able to absorb them or reduce them if they do occur.
It's that whole black swan type of idea, an unknown hit coming at us?
That's exactly right. And you mentioned the infamous Taleb and his black swan book. Black swans, the whole purpose or the whole focus of the book was everybody said we couldn't have a black swan because black swans are always white until we found a black swan back in Australia a number of years ago. And that's his whole point. In fact, his whole point of his book, a lot of people get the wrong message from what they've read or what they have synopsizing the book, and that Taleb says we need to spend a lot more time trying to predict these black swans. And what Taleb really says is don't waste your time. You can't predict black swans. What you have to do is position for the fact that it might occur. So you can position yourself for not only the downside of a unexpected bad event, but also have the agility to position yourself for taking advantage of one of those opportunities that you just had not anticipated that provides a phenomenal potential for you. So he basically kind of has an interesting view of the world. Sometimes we phrase it in the context that everybody seems to try to plan their business based on what is expected. And expectations rarely come to fruition. We don't typically see what we project for prices or yields or productivity actually occur. He says what you really need to focus on is focus on the tails of that yield distribution or the tails of that price distribution or the tails of whatever a potential future events, weather events that you might face. Higher low rainfall, higher low temperature. And he says you have to really take an options mentality approach to this and try to figure out how to reduce your exposure to the downside and at the same time position yourself to capture the upside of that distribution or whether it be prices or weather events or yields or whatever it might be when that might occur. And so that's really an important part of the risk management process.
You speak of a process. Is there a process for positioning a farm against that tail on that curve?
Well, the first part of that process, and the answer is there are ways to kind of think about how to do it. It's not a kind of classic. Here is the seven things we do, and all these risks go away. That's just not at all what you do. What you try to do is go through a thinking process of what we sometimes refer to as a mental model, where the first thing you do is we actually started this conversation out, is you identify what are the key risks that you face and what are those sources of those risks, what are the risks that we are going to be the most important to our business, what's the consequences that we might encounter or the exposures we might have and or the opportunities we might have, and I just might have a sidebar conversation here with you or mention that when we talk about risk, almost everybody thinks about the downside, the bad things that can happen to us. Really, what we need to talk about is more uncertainty, and uncertainty sometimes can be thought of as both the upside as well as the downside, and you know, in that sense, we need to not ignore those opportunities that are associated with volatility, and so let's don't kind of necessarily focus our attention in the bad stuff that happened to us. So we need to after we've identified the risks that are important to the business, and secondly, we figured out what the consequences of that volatility might be for us. What kind of profit potential there is with the upside of of one of these events that could occur that we can't predict into the future, what the downside of that event is, we need to kind of determine whether, in fact, this is worth spending a whole lot of time on, or whether it's could get us, but not be traumatic in terms of what it does to the business. And we sometimes do that by using something we call scenario analysis. And so we look at kind of alternative futures that we might have, and try to then figure out how to position ourselves or develop a strategy that's going to be able to buffer the downside when we have those events that would occur that are negative, have a negative impact on the business, and at the same time also have as part of that strategy another element of that strategy that says, okay, if this particular set of events were to occur, we've got to pounce on it, we got to jump on it, we got to capture the upside when it becomes available to us. So it's as much kind of constantly reviewing the potential futures, not trying to quote predict the future, but looking at what alternative futures might be in terms of this key risk component there, or events, the key risk that we're worried about, and trying to constantly position the business to adjust to those the variability that we face. Again, just to reiterate, we really have to be careful to first focus on the important risks that are really critical to the long-term success of the business, and secondly, don't try to figure out what the future is going to be for sure, because we just don't know.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the idea of whether it's deciding whether something is actually worth worrying about. How do you decide where to draw the line? Of course, risk management often has a cost. I guess the whole question of how much insurance do I need, or how do you decide when you're protected well enough?
Yeah, so you're right. You have to look at kind of, sometimes we use a term, it's kind of an academic term, but it actually kind of does connect with where businesses are. What's the value? What's the monetary size of your potential exposure? What's the amount of value at risk? How much could you possibly lose if you're worried about the downside? And we worry about that in relationship to what the total value or the total income, if we're using that as a measure of financial metric that we have. Is this particular risk going to have the potential of reducing our wealth by, our wealth by 2%, 1%, 5%, 20%. That helps us kind of figure out which of these is going to be really, really important for us to focus our attention on. Or on the other hand, if you look at the risk reward ratio on the upside, if I take this risk, I mean, and that's what you do in some cases. You take risk to make more money. But am I going to be adequately rewarded for that? Or if I take this risk, will I just make just a modest, a little amount? And in that sense, I'm taking a lot of risk and not going to get adequately rewarded for it. And then what you have done in your question is you have then kind of surfaced, okay, now we think about what some of the strategies are that we could use. And clearly insurance is one of those strategies that you can use for some of the more operational risks that you might face. There's markets out there to transfer that risk to somebody else. There's four basic strategies you use to manage risk. One is that you try to transfer it to other people through insurance or hedging or futures contracts or those types of things. You might figure out a way to kind of joint venture with somebody and have he and or she and you share the risk. So it's an alternative way of trying to mitigate the consequences by being in a joint venture, a strategic alliance, or having some other kind of business arrangement so that you get some of the upside and so does your business partner. But at the same time, if there's a lot of downside there, you've got somebody else that can help share some of that downside. A third strategy is to position your business so it has the capacity to absorb whatever the downside is, and so you have what we call the resiliency to handle it. You have You have a financial structure that allows you to handle losses without putting you out of business. You have the ability to have a modest debt load that you have in the business, or you have some excess resources. I mean, that's why we carry some feed inventories in our livestock operation. In case we end up with a short crop, we don't have to go buy feed from the market. We've got that inventory of our own feed that we can feed. So we position the business so with some reserves or some flexibility or some low debt load to be able to absorb those risks. Or the fourth way you do it is you say, I'm just not going to do this. I mean, I'm going to avoid this. I'm going to get out of that kind of business. I'm not going to do this. And, you know, there are some points where you say, look, the risk is too high today to, for example, buy feeder cattle and place them in a feedlot. There's just too much risk. I'm not saying that's necessarily the case, although it's a pretty risky proposition right now, to be very frank. It's just too risky to do that. Or the risk is too high to be involved in this activity or be involved in this kind of a venture. Just as another example, we have had in the Midwest a lot of farmers who have added to their business semi-trucks to haul their grain. And, well, one way to kind of increase the utilization of those semi-trucks, not just use them at harvest, but use them throughout the year, is to now set up a trucking business. So they then get involved in trucking business throughout the year. And then there are some of them that say, whoa, wait a minute here. The liability exposure we have of trucking for somebody else is just too high. We just aren't going to do this. Not only are we not going to do this in terms of a business, we actually are going to not even do our own grain hauling. We're going to outsource that. We're going to sign a contract with somebody where this is, in fact, their business. They're going to guarantee us that they're going to be there all the time, so we get the timeliness and all that type of thing that we could have if we owned our own trucks, but we don't have that huge liability exposure of what happens if our truck were to injure somebody on the highway and we get a multi-million-dollar lawsuit and that type of thing. So some risk you just manage by saying, we just aren't even going to do that.
Mm-hmm. How about from a total risk perspective, going back to the operational and strategic risks, does it make sense to have a total risk assessment where if you're more exposed in one area, you protect yourself more somewhere else?
That's right. So there's kind of two things. So what we suggest farmers do is just leveraging your question just a little bit deeper. They ought to first do what we call a risk audit. And a risk audit basically tries to identify the major sources or categories of risk in your business. And it doesn't just include, again, the classic risk that we sometimes see people focus on: price, productivity, efficiency, liability, human risk, et cetera. The classic USDA, in the U.S. USDA identification of the seven types of risk. In fact, I have one risk audit form that we have 15 different questions that we ask to kind of get some idea of what the risks are in your business. We actually have a more full-blown audit that we actually use with some companies as 122 different sources of risk to the business, including the risk associated with non-compliance with government regulations. I mean, if you're in a business where you have to worry about producing vegetables and you got to produce them in a particular way, organic or whatever, you got to worry about the non-compliance with the government rules and regulations, the non-compliance with rules and regulations relative to, say, conservation compliance, or not complying with if you're producing in a contract to a processor. What's the risk associated with food safety and those types of risks? So it's a very, very broad set of questions. We have to do that risk audit. We have to figure out what the potential exposure of for those different kinds of risks are, what kind of financial and or the exposure may be not just initially financial, but might be things that we call reputation risk or maybe counterparty risk, i.e. we've got a contract with somebody and they don't perform and now we've got the exposure associated with that. So counterparty risk is a pretty important part of this. They may, the processor may go out of business and, yeah, I've got a contract, but if I got a bankrupt contractor contract, processor. I mean, you know, we've had that in the U.S. We've had it around the world. You know, Pilgrim's Pride had contracts with his poultry producers. They went out of business. The contract didn't worth a darn if they went out of business, right? So we try to look at the kind of exposures that we're going to have with those risks and what those sources are. And then we also then have to kind of think about what are the tools and techniques and procedures that we can use to manage those risks. And we've already suggested it's much more complicated, and there's a lot more to it than just, okay, we ought to hedge, and we ought to use forward contracts, and we ought to buy insurance and those types of things. There's a lot of stuff beyond that that we need to do. And then we have to also say, well, okay, and this is part of the audit process. So, okay, who's responsible to implement this strategy? Is it the CEO, or do we have somebody else in the company that's supposed to make darn sure that this risk doesn't? I mean, the guy running the combine has some exposure for trying to make sure that it's cleaned out well enough so that we don't have contamination of our specialty grain with some commodity grains, so we don't have contamination in other forms, right? So there are some of these risks that it is the operator of the machine that has responsibility to manage it and reduce it and that type of thing. We have to provide guidance. You have to use these procedures for cleaning the combine, but it's his or her daily or weekly job to make sure that gets done, right? So that's part of what we try to do with this risk audit type of process, is go through a systematic process of evaluating the sources of risk, what the potential exposure is, how much we have the techniques for managing it, and who's responsible to implement those techniques.
Similar to what we would see outside of the farming world as well, with HACCP and ISO and all those types of risk management type programs?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we work with a tomato grower here in the state of Indiana that his quality management system and he's got, I think, the last form that he put together is 67 pages that they have to comply with to make sure that their tomatoes are exactly the way they're supposed to be when they hit the processing plant.
Finally, then, Mike, wanted to talk a bit about the overall environment and changes in risk management that you're seeing, some of the trends in North American agriculture. Do you think, maybe this is a multi-layered question, let's start, do you think there are new tools coming out, or do farmers have more options for adapting their risk management approach to their operations?
Yeah, so let me start out more basic on that. Right now, at least in terms of the current business climate, right now in North America, particularly in the grain sector, a lot of farmers have a real significant interest in the economic downturn that we're facing, particularly in the cropping sector, and what some of the alternatives are to manage the liquidity, cash flow, debt servicing, and other risks that they're facing in that context. And so the more immediate kind of concern top of mind for many producers in grain production is those types of risk and what they can do. And, you know, they don't have the opportunity right now to manage the profit exposure by locking in a margin. So now what do I do? Because my margins are going to be negative. Well, now I've got to start thinking about some other ways to reduce my downside risk exposure. And maybe I need to lock in losses and lock them in at a level that I never ever thought I would, because the downside is even bigger than the current loss that I might have. So we actually have a set of material that we actually have in our Center for Commercial Agriculture, where we help farmers think about how we manage the strategic risk. The financial risk associated with the downturn. We have a website, and if people want to get a hold of me, I'd be happy to provide that. So we have a major set of risk management tools that we have developed and have material on, both in terms of the financial and the production operations issue, as well as we're putting material up now on the strategic risk, along with case studies and those types of things. So to your more broad question, It is, I think, going to be the case that farmers are going to increasingly become more aware and have to think more about the broader set of risk management tools that are available to them. Will there be new tools come out? Certainly there always are, but to be honest, many of those new tools are not tools for managing the strategic risk. The strategic risks that they face, they have to think about it in a different context of trying to find out how to kind of get a quick fix. They have to do contingency planning. They have to develop strategies for alternative futures. They have to have agility in their business in terms of how they operate to be able to capture new opportunities. That is not a tool. That's a way of doing business. That's a way of having your entire organization understand how to make decisions, having a governance structure or management structure that's constantly scanning the environment and making sure that they take advantage of opportunities when they are. It's a mental way of thinking, not a all I have to do is go buy some more insurance and this is I got this one fixed. So there will be a continued development of new techniques and procedures to manage operating risk. Some of our chemical companies are coming to market with products where they're providing warranties and guarantees and other types of protections for non-performance. And we'll always have some innovation there, but it's probably going to be more how you think about managing the business than it is saying, okay, I've got to go get up on this tool, buy it from somebody, and now I can go on and farm the way I used to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think to wrap things up, we can probably go back to what you said earlier about with risk, there's not just downside, but often opportunity. And if we manage against that downside, we can position ourselves for the upside as well.
Yeah, and I'm going to put it just a little bit different than that, because what we actually think is important is actually in times of downturns in any industry, actually that's when some of the best opportunities evolve. Because a lot of people are in what we sometimes refer to as hunker down mode. They're pulled back. They are saying, we aren't going to take much. They're not going to do anything now. We just got to kind of, quote, survive this downturn, and then we'll be okay and we'll move forward. Well, that's when maybe you've got better chances, if you're well positioned, to take advantage of opportunities, to be able to kind of do something which if things were good, everybody would want to do, and you had to pay a premium to get it done, or you wouldn't get as good a deal to get it done. And so what we're saying to farmers is that it's really, really important. Certainly you have to be positioned to handle the downturn. I'm not saying that should be ignored. And if you are over-leveraged, if you don't have financial resources, if you've not bought insurance, if you're not forward-priced, if you're not doing some of the standard stuff that you should be doing, if you're not the most efficient you can be, if you got a little sloppy in the way you've been implementing some of your operational practices, if you're not the most timely you should be, we've got a whole laundry list of things that, you know, what we call our focus strategy, and here's 13 things you got to do to be best in class. You got to be best in class. If you aren't doing those things, you got to do them, and they're more important than they've ever been when you're in economic downturn. But don't spend all of your time, if you're not first best in class, then you better get to best in class as quick as you possibly can. But don't ignore that in these types of business environments that there is going to be a lot of opportunities. So you've got to have the skill set, the capacity, and don't spend all your time just trying to think about how we got to survive this downturn. Spend some time searching out the opportunities, looking at the potential for expansion, look at the potential for growing your business, look at the potential for taking advantage of good opportunities that come your way. In fact, our suggestion is our better producers are actually going to have more good opportunities going forward now to be able to have successful startup or new activities than they might have had for the last 3 or 4 years, because when we've had the kind of income on the grain side that a lot of farmers have had, we have a tendency to pay premiums for everything we're trying to do because everybody wants it. I mean, we only have to look at paying $15,000 to $20,000 for a piece of farmland in the Midwest. I mean, that's just paying premiums that we probably couldn't afford then and clearly can't afford it now. there will be some opportunities that come out of these tougher times. And so it's really important to make sure that we don't let them, again, pass us by.
Well, we thank you for your time, Mike.
Okay.
So, it's not all doom and gloom when it comes to talking about risk, or maybe more appropriately, uncertainty in a farm business. It's also not a black and white or one size fits all approach. More of a process, as Dr. Bulgey said, a constant review that starts with identifying risks to an operation, going through exercises such as scenario analysis and risk audits that help with determining how to respond, how to prioritize a risk or an uncertainty, whether it's an operational risk that in some cases can be shared or transferred to someone, or more of a strategic risk, something that requires bigger picture, sometimes repositioning of an entire business in order to reduce exposure to something on the horizon that could be painful. Again, thanks to Dr. Bulgey for sharing his insight. And you can find some more resources on risk management, some of these exercises that he talked about on the Purdue University Center for Commercial Agriculture websites. Coming up on the next episode of Mind Your Farm Business, we're going to be talking about something quite related to this: margin compression, strategies for managing low prices and high costs. So stay tuned. In the meantime, thanks for listening. This has been episode 3 of Mind Your Farm Business.